And tomorrow night we'll do an overview of chapters 64, yeah, to 69. So we'll do the overview tomorrow night. And then on Monday next week we'll have the closed book examination.
64 to 69.
Tomorrow night.
64 to 69.
Tomorrow night.
Monday's exam.
Monday's the exam next week. Tuesday, nothing. Brahma Jyoti. Tuesday is Brahma Jyoti. But tomorrow night, we'll do. Hare Krishna. Okay. So tonight we'll finish the chapter. So we'll go from verses 31. 2:45. In one place, he was planning battles in consultation with some of his advisors. And in another place, he was making peace. Somewhere, Lord Keshava and Lord Balaram were together plundering the welfare of the pious. So this is a description of Krishna living in
Dwarka.
So when Krishna comes to earth, how long does he stay on earth when he comes? 125 years. Yeah. So the first, how many years is he in Vrindavan? Yeah, between 10 and 11 years. Yeah. 10 and 11 years. And then he goes to Mathura. Yeah. How long is he in Mathura? 18. 18 years. So 18 years. 10 years in Vrindavan. 18 years in Mathura. And then the remaining years he lives in
Dwarka.
And he travels around a little bit, but he lives in Dwarka. So most of Krishna's pastimes when he's on earth are in Dwarka. The Vrindavan pastimes are his original pastimes. They're the most significant in one sense, and they're full of the most pleasure for Krishna himself. And then when he leaves and goes to Mathura and to Dwarka, this is an expansion. Can this child be sent to another universe? At least another suburb? So then, when he goes to Mathura and Dwarka, it is Krishna, it's not the original form, but it is the expansion who is traveling there. And the expanded forms are constantly in meditation on the pastimes in Vrindavan. So he's always thinking about Vrindavan. When he's in Mathura, he's thinking about Vrindavan. He can actually see Vrindavan. It's, you know, close by. And when he is in Dwarka, he is always thinking of Vrindavan. So that is the meditation of Krishna when he's outside. So when he's in Vrindavan, there are parts of his pastimes which are more difficult to understand because of the intimate nature of the pastimes. Right? What takes place in Vrindavan is very intimate. It is Krishna's pastime with the gopis. Now, from a materialistic point of view, a mundane point of view, people will judge Krishna as being immoral. Because when he's in Vrindavan, he is associating with many women outside of marriage. There's parakeet above. So it is not... he's not following normal morality, moral behavior. And therefore, it is questionable. There are different things that Krishna does. Like when he's in Vrindavan, he's stealing. It's only butter and things like that. It's not anything significant. But he tells lies. There's many things he does. They're not serious things, but he does. So when he goes to Dwarka, his behavior and his pastimes are much more proper in one sense. The conduct is much more dharmic. So Krishna is teaching us in Dwarka how we should act. What he does in Vrindavan is for his own pleasure. It is not to be imitated, and it should not be misunderstood. But it's a different type of activity. So when he's in Dwarika, then we follow him. And especially to set the example for humanity, Krishna appears as Lord Ramachandra. Ramachandra is like the ideal king. That is the part of Krishna's personality which shows ideal behavior. Krishna's personality is to show his own, is to enjoy his own pastimes. He's absorbed in his own pleasure. So Krishna's pastimes are different. But when he's outside, when he's in Dwarka, he acts much more perfectly. So it is perfect behavior, very much in Dwarka. So we're seeing here in this verse, then Krishna is showing Kshatriya Dharma. Kshatriya Dharma. The word Dharma is very important. Just like yesterday we had Go Puja. Did anyone come for Go Puja? No, you came. Okay. You're the only one who came out of everyone.
Yes.
So you will get a lot of benefit because you went to worship the cows. Everyone else here, they stayed here and they just looked at pictures of cows. But we went there, we worshipped the cows. So it is important. So we had some Western people there. At Hare Krishna Valley, we like to preach to Western people. Because Prabhupada wanted us to preach to Western people. We have enough Indians. You know, I mean, really, we're preaching very successfully to the Indian community. Everyone, you know, the whole temple is full of Indian devotees. You got a Mangalati on Janmashtami, right? It's 98% Indian devotees. So we're preaching successfully. What we need to focus on is preaching to the Western people. At Hare Krishna Valley, we're attracting Western people. We're trying as much as possible. Nice Western people came yesterday. Some for the first time. And some people, they questioned me, why do we worship the cow? Why the cow? Why not the elephant? Why not the pig? Why not the goat? From a Western point of view, why? It doesn't. So we explain to them because the cow represents Dharma. And what does Dharma mean? Dharma means like perfect behavior. Right? If you understand the cow's position, you understand how dear it is to God, to Krishna. And if we treat the cow with respect and understand all the things that the cow represents and gives to humanity, then we understand what is Dharma. No? And human society needs to act on the platform of Dharma. If you want to go back to the spiritual world, which we all want to, we all want to go back to Krishna, you can only go back to Krishna when you practice perfect Dharma. That means you have to practice perfect behavior in this world. If you act perfectly in this world, then you can go back to Krishna. If you don't act perfectly in this world, you can't go back to Krishna. It's difficult. So what Krishna is teaching here in Dwarka is correct Dharma. So first of all, it is called Kshatriya Dharma. I told you last week. Hey, last week I told you. And then you do it again.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
What do you want me to do?
Punish me.
I can't punish you. You're too old to be a punisher. What am I going to do? You have to come on time, I told you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomorrow night, make sure you come on time, because tomorrow night we do the last class, the overview. Okay. Don't be late tomorrow, okay? Make sure you're on time. So then, this is called Kshatriya Dharma. So Krishna is showing how a Kshatriya should act and behave. Now, Kshatriya means leader. All of us, in one sense, we're leader. Maybe we're not like full Kshatriya, but we're leader. All of us leading something. At least you lead your family, right? Your son, your wife. At least something. But then more also. And most of us, you know, we have responsibility in our community. You know, devotees look up to us. You know, so we're leader. So you have to understand what is the proper behavior. So Krishna is showing us how to... It's not easy to be a leader. Right? Especially now, in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to be a leader. Right? As soon as you do something or say something like that, you know, everyone says, oh, I'll take you to court. Or, you know, like this, or, you know, it's like, it's very crazy now. It's hard to be a leader now in Kali Yuga. And everyone criticizes. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. What if you do? Everyone says, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong. But Prabhupada, when people would come to Prabhupada, they'd say, oh, you know, Prabhupada's leaders, his disciples, they would criticize, and Prabhupada said, then you do better. Okay, if you want to criticize, that's okay, then you do it. Right? If you can do a better job, then you do it. You become the leader. So it's difficult. So here, Krishna, it says that he was planning battles in consultation with some of his advisors. Krishna is planning battles. A leader should not be fearful to correct those who are underneath. No? If you cannot correct people, like yesterday, right? I'm at Gopuja. Right? So, you know, we finished the festival and devotees are leaving and everything. And then it's like 3 or 4 devotees I'm talking to, right? And then one of the devotees, then he touched my feet, right? So then the 3 Matajis are there, they also did it. They also touched my feet like that. So I said to them, you are Matajis, you can't touch a man's feet. You can't do it, right? You can't touch. Right? The woman can touch the husband. She can't touch any other man. She can't touch the guru's feet. The husband can touch the guru's feet. And then they said, oh, then what do we do? Right? I said, well, then the husband touches. Then you can touch the husband's feet and you get the feet. That's the system. You don't touch another man's feet. That's not dharma. That's not correct behavior. Now, we have to tell people. We have to tell devotees about that. So then two of the girls said, oh, we're not married. We don't have husband. What do we do? I said, then that's your problem. You know, and then you can't just go and touch any man's feet. Okay, because, you know, a senior devotee, they want to touch senior devotee's feet. Yeah, okay, but you can't do it. It's not dharmic to do it. Right? You know, like if Kalamakana Maharaj is there, right? Or Veda Vyasa Maharaj is coming, right? So if they're there. You know, their shoes are outside the temple, you can touch their shoes. But if they're in the shoes, you can't touch. You can't. Yeah. This is called dharma. Dharma means proper behavior. So you have to practice proper behavior. So kshatriya means, if you're a leader, you have to correct someone. And these days people don't like to correct. Everyone is too scared. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't say anything. They'll get upset with me. Yeah. Even I know some devotees. They say, oh, I won't say anything because this other person will become upset with me. Well then, do not be a leader. Now, a leader cannot be fearful of correcting. You have to say, this is wrong or this is wrong. That is your duty. So you see, here, Krishna, he's planning to go to battle. Who likes fighting? We don't want to fight. You know, none of us like, I don't like correcting people or, you know, we don't like doing these things. But if you have to, then you will do it. Kshatriya doesn't like to fight, but if he has to fight, yeah, okay, he will go and do it. Right? So this means you have to take responsibility in this material world. So Krishna is showing us the example. Right? In another place, he was making peace. We like to make peace. We don't want to fight. We want to make peace. Yeah? Fighting is the last obstacle. And somewhere they were together, pondering the welfare of the pious. So this is the point. The leader is concerned about their citizens. What's the problem with the leaders in the modern world?
Selfish.
Everyone knows they're in it for themselves. They want to make money. Right? Yeah, well, it means that everything's based on economics. Like you're here, like America's having the next election in November, right? At the by election, I think, is in November. They're having, or maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But even like, you know, but every time you hear the politicians talking, it's all based on economics. That's not the real essence of the problem for their citizens. That's one part of the world we live in. But it's not the most important thing, the welfare of the citizens. Right? The leader has to be concerned with the welfare of the citizens. Right? So this is what it means. Krishna is showing the perfect example. If you're going to be a leader, you have to care about the citizens. You have to protect everyone. You have to help everyone. That's the system. And don't be scared to correct someone if they need correction.
the temple room as well, Guruji, everybody on the left hand they are taking aarti. Always on the left hand they take the aarti. They just
take the
aarti and aarti, no, the Krishna.
The lamp.
Yeah, no, the aarti we give for Lord and then we show to everybody. Yeah,
that's not called an aarti. It's called a lamp. Aarti is what you're doing. It's not called an aarti.
They bring the aarti outside to
give. Yeah, the ghee lamp. You know? Yeah.
They give it to everybody, no?
Yeah.
Aarti after.
People do it with the left hand. Yeah, so that's wrong.
That's wrong. I told them always I keep correcting them.
Yeah, that's wrong. They need training.
Even the flowers, they take the left.
Yeah, they need training. Right, so you have to, if you're giving someone the flowers, if they put out the left hand, you don't put it in.
No.
You just hold it, and then you wait till they put the light in, and you put it in. That's what you do. It's easy to do like that.
Sitting during
aarti? Technically, it's not. Technically.
I've seen some
senior people
sitting.
Even I do it sometimes. Okay. But according to tradition, no, it's not. You should be standing during aarti. Yeah, but sometimes, if it's one of the quiet aartis, if it's one of the kirtan aartis, I'll be standing. If it's one of like the quiet, sometimes I sit and I chant my rounds while the RV's on. But technically, you should be standing as much as possible. Any other points? Okay. Narada saw Lord Krishna engaging in getting his sons and daughters married to suitable brides and bridegrooms at the appropriate time, and the marriage ceremonies were being performed with great pomp. So, Chandan, I'd like to read the verse.
This translation is based on Srila Prabhupada's Krishna. The word Kali here means that Krishna arranged for his sons and daughters to be married when each of them reached the proper age.
Any points?
Krishna is performing so many activities simultaneously.
Yeah. What else is there?
So, I read in one scripture that Krishna is a monogamist. They said Krishna is a monogamist.
Yeah.
So that means that each of Krishna's each Krishna that expanded is totally independent of the other one. There's no connection there.
Yeah, each one's fully acting independently. Yeah.
Fully like an avatar.
Yeah. Any other points?
So what is the proper age?
Proper age?
Proper age,
it says
it?
It says appropriate time. It says at the appropriate time. Oh, the purpose is proper age. Yeah, so proper age. You're asking what is the proper age? It's different now. I mean, back in those days, even sometimes the age of 12, girls got married. We don't do that now. In Australia, you have to be 18. After 18. Well, you want to marry your kids off early on? Has to be 18. Any other point?
So is the parent's responsibility to get their children married?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And they should be married in a proper age.
Yeah.
Not that they finish the study and then they are get married.
In a previous time, that's correct. You try and do that now, it's not very easy. So this is called what Krishna is teaching here is dharma, right? So he's teaching grihastha dharma, right? So okay, what it says here, Krishna is organizing for the marriage of his
son and daughter.
Son and daughter. Okay, so my daughter, if I say to her, you have to marry this boy at this age, right? She'll just look at me and go, "What are you talking about?" She's going to marry who she wants to marry, and she'll probably marry when she wants to get married. I mean, she's pious, girl, and devoted, but it is different now. Right? The modern world is different. So if you want to impose all of this onto the modern time, you're probably going to have some problems. You know, and I watch devotees, even devotees who come to this class, the way they're dealing with their kids, it's not so easy. You know, they want the kids to do this and that, but it doesn't. The world has changed. We have to understand this. So as much as possible, we just have to set a good example for the children. And if you're close to the kids, you can, you know, you can guide them. But you may not be able to fully control everything the way it was previously. You know, previously, it was arranged marriage and, you know, like Mataji's saying, you know, you have to tell, you know, if I tell my daughter, you have to get married before you do your studies or something like that, she'll, you know, I don't think she'll do that. So we have to understand the way the modern world is. But at least there's Grihastha Dharma. Grihastha Dharma means you have a responsibility. That means your commitment to your children lasts for how long? Yeah, that's the point. It's for your life, right? Yeah, it's not a contract. You know, my father said to me one time, because you know he wasn't following Dharma, he said, I brought you up for 17 years. I looked at him like, okay, so what, do we sign a contract or something? After 17 years, that was it. Because he left, like, after 17 years, and virtually no contact. You know, for 20 years, I hardly even spoke to him. You know, what is that? You know, where's the Dharma? I'd never do that to my daughter. You know, if she needs me for the rest of my life, I will be there. You know, she's not even my daughter. You know, I mean, she's not even my biological daughter, but that's how I feel. You know, if she wants anything, then I'll be there, I'll look after her. So that is Dharma. Dharma means you have to be responsible. Krishna is showing us we have to follow Dharma. So there are rules and regulations, which means getting married at the appropriate time. Appropriate time means auspicious time. So these are the things we look at. You know, when you go, like when I got married to Atulya, like 4 years ago, 4.5 years. So then, you know, we look at the Jyotish. You know, what's a good time? You know, because, you know, we're going to get married. You want to have a good time. Or if something important happens, you know, we look at the Jyotish. You know, some big thing. Then we look, oh, is it auspicious or not? These things. It does make a difference, actually. You know, some devotees say, oh, no, these things. Even one devotee said to me recently, oh, we're devotees, these things don't count. Okay, then go ahead. That's okay, you can think like that. But then if things start going wrong, you know, you might want to consider these things. You know, we are affected. The modes of material nature are affecting us in this world. The Jyotish means the effects of the modes of nature. Yeah. Just like in 2008, we had GFC. What is that? Global financial crisis, right? My life was nearly ruined. The global financial crisis. Why is that? Because Jupiter rules money, right? The planet. Jupiter went into debilitation when it goes into Capricorn. Now, when does Jupiter go into Capricorn again? 2021. So you know what's going to happen? Global financial crisis. You watch, it will happen. Yeah, 2021. It goes in, comes out, then goes back in again later. You watch. GFC. And then you'll say, you know, I made prediction and everything. No, it's just in the Jyotish. It's easy to see. It's coming around every time Jupiter goes around. When it comes back in, that will happen. And everyone's saying it's coming. We can tell you when it's coming. It'll be, yeah, around 2:21 around that time. There'll be problems. Yeah, it just means, you know, less money for a little while, and then Jupiter goes good again. Then everything's. So what's the problem? So this is the point. Krishna is looking at these things. Even Krishna looks at these things. Oh, I'll marry my daughter. Oh, look at the Jyoti like this. So if Krishna is doing it, we can do it also. You don't have to govern your whole life by the Jyoti. Some people do this. Even some devotees do this. Oh, I can't go outside today because Saturn. Oh, what is that? You know, but at least to some degree, we can follow these things. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when he comments on this verse, he says, whenever you have an important occasion, like a marriage or something, it should be very opulent. Everything should be very nice, very opulent. Right? Should feed the devotees nicely and have nice prasad, nice feast, and you know, everyone should dress nicely. It's auspicious when the Matajis, when they dress nicely, they wear Mangala Sutra and everything. Whenever there's an occasion, everything should be auspicious. not that. So this is, it makes everything auspicious. You know, we spend some money on nice occasions. You know, someone's birthday or getting married or any of these things. It should be, it makes everything very nice, very auspicious. Any points?
Prabhu, I personally don't believe Jyotish Prabhu. I'll tell you why. Because of the people I'm seeing day to day in my life, they completely ruin the faith and do it. For everything they want to Jyotish. You know, for marriages they look at Jyotish and they look at so many things, and I completely lost faith in that. Because people, right, they impose everything on you based on that. When you look
that's non-devotees.
Even non-devotees are, even in devotees I've seen that.
Yeah, so devotees, we don't take it so seriously.
No. My question there is why, you know, I lost faith in Jyotish. More than Jyotish.
Jyotish is okay, but it's Krishna's science.
True.
But you have to take it. You have to take it from devotees who are fixed up in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, my question is, how Jyotish? I mean, who are the qualified people that who can really speak about Jyotish in a sense, right? As devotees, right? There are certain things which
we cannot predict. Yeah, so you have Prahlad Nanda Swami. You have Bhanu Swami.
No, Prabhu.
You have.
You can't go and meet Prahlad Nanda Swami Maharaj just like that. You can't meet Bhanu Swami Maharaj for a marriage.
Okay, so then it's there's a devotee in New Zealand called Jai Tira Charan Prabhu.
No, my question is, people who have that knowledge,
then I will read your chart.
You're not listening to my question. My
what's your point?
That's what I'm coming. My question is,
hurry up.
For that knowledge, right, is there anything related to Krishna and spirituality?
Yeah, because you're in the material world. You're in the material
true,
world.
True, I'm accepting that. My question is...
Okay, so then, Bhakti Santa Saraswati...
Yeah, he's the best qualified. I heard about
that. He's a pure devotee.
He
would look at Jyotish, like he'd say, Thursday afternoon is Rahu Kal. So he would not start an important journey on Thursday afternoon. He's pure devotee. You say, why is he following Jyotish? Because he understands the force of the universe, how it works. So it's just Jyotish just means you understand a little bit. That's all. Prabhupada was the same. Prabhupada had to meet with Indira Gandhi, right, Prime Minister, right? On a Thursday afternoon, Prabhupada said, change the appointment. He said, not a good time to meet. You know, important things you don't do. So that's, we can follow. A little bit you can follow. That's all.
But Indira Gandhi didn't follow Prabhupada.
I just look at things a little bit. Yeah, I don't like my whole life, like, oh, you know, can I give class today?
That's
too much. That means you're going crazy. But it means that if there's a big thing, you know, like my wife, something recently, she had to do some service or something. So I had a look at the Jyotish. Oh, okay. Good time, bad time. Okay, that's all.
So is there a science behind that? Any person can learn Jyotish? Means, are there any schools where people can go and learn that?
I just read books. That's all. Just get a book, read it.
Is there any authorized book in ISKCON to read that one? I just
want to know. Ask the astrologers, ask the good astrologers, ask Bhanu Swami. Say, Bhanu Maharaj, what do you read on Jyotish? Right? He'll probably say, don't worry about it. Every time I go to Bhanu Swami, ask him to look at my chart, he just looks and goes, you're coming to a period of renunciation. Right? And he just puts away. Three or four times I saw him and said the same thing. So I think, okay. Renunciation is coming. What's the problem?
You know, Prabhuji, when I read Krishna Rakhe Mare Ke and Krishna Mare Rakhe Ke, after that I don't ask anything about
Krishna will look after you.
Yeah.
Krishna will look after you.
That's right. Yeah.
Even Prabhupada. Prabhupada would look at it, but he doesn't like govern his whole life on it. Yeah. But you know, Prabhupada will look at it, that's all.
Lord can change anything.
See, he can. Even in your worst times, it can become good, so what's the problem?
Yes, sir, why should I worry?
Yeah, so you don't have to worry, that's the point. No one says you have to look at Jyotish, just if you want to. All I'm saying here is Krishna is. It says here in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is looking at Jyotish. He's marrying his daughter according to the right time. Yeah, if you're doing a big thing like marriage, yeah, look at the Jyotish. Or you can just rely on Krishna, but you might get married at a very inauspicious time. Even you're relying on Krishna, but then, you know, it's better to make things easy, not harder. That's all.
Even for Rukmani, Krishna was looking at the chart number.
It says in the Bhagavad Gita. So many times it says when Parikshit was born, they went to the astrologers. It's all there in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Like but that. I heard Prabhu that.
But if you don't want to look at it, that's okay as well. There's nothing says you have to look at it.
I just believe in Lord 100%.
Okay. So there's no problem. That's okay. That's okay. There's nothing says you don't have to do that. But I'm just saying here in this verse, it says that Krishna, who's God, he's looking at it. So
he knows everything.
I heard that, yeah.
I heard Prabhu in one lecture that Prabhupada was also like on Thursdays, he was not doing a like, you know, good thing, like between few, from like 12 noon to some time,
yeah.
He was not doing some like good,
big something, things.
Yeah, big thing he yeah, was not doing. He was believing that Thursday at this time.
Thursday afternoon, yeah. So it means that when
Rahu
he had...
Rahu something, Rahu.
Rahu Kal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it means if you... He was going to meet Indira Gandhi, he said change the time. Because, you know, so it means if Prabhupada himself is looking and his guru is looking, then we should look. That's all. It's the same as all of us. You know, Thursday afternoon, like if I see something's coming up, big thing, I say, oh no, not that time. Change to Friday or change to Wednesday. That's all. Yeah, just be practical, that's all. Okay. Narada observed how Sri Krishna, the master of all yoga masters, arranged to send away his daughters and sons-in-law, and also to receive them home again. At the time of great holiday celebrations, all the citizens were astonished to see these celebrations. One daughter with each wife. Yeah, so it's 16,000 daughters.
10 sons and one daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with each wife. So, it shows the when there is a auspicious celebration, the family should come together. Unfortunately, once again, we're in Kali Yuga. Sometimes the family doesn't even talk to each other. So now it's difficult. You know? Yeah, it's like Diwali's on or something, you call everyone, I'll come if they don't come, and like this, and just everything's difficult now. The fortunate thing is that Prabhupada created ISKCON, now we have an ISKCON family. So even if the material family doesn't work, at least we can come together with the devotees. Yeah. The devotees are the real friends, actually, in this world. They're the real shelter. You know, the material family is there, you know, and you have to do your obligation to the material family, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the devotee family. Because devotees are the people who can save you and will save you. Who will look after you at the time of death? The devotees will look after you. Yeah. So that's the most important thing. It also says here that everything was very opulent. Everyone was astonished to see the way Krishna organized the festival. So it means that whenever there's a festival, everything should be very opulent. Where does opulence come from?
From him.
Everything comes from
Lakshmi.
Him. Comes from Lakshmi. It comes from piety. Yeah. When you act properly, then good fortune comes. Wealth comes. If you're poor, right, if you don't have money, this is because of impiety in the previous life. Generally, unless Krishna wants to take it away. Krishna will take it away. It means impiety. Right? You know, if anything negative happens, that's because of impiety. It means we did something impious previously. Yeah. So, people say, well, I want money. Yeah, you can want money as much as you want. Everyone works hard for money. But it will only come if you are pious. Or if you've been pious previously. If you're not pious now, you haven't been pious. You can work as hard as you want. It won't come. And even if you get it, it will be taken away from you. So therefore Krishna, you know, the opulence is there, but the opulence is there for Krishna because he's the most pious person. You have to act properly and then good fortune will come. You can't expect that you want good fortune if you don't act properly in this world. Somewhere he was worshipping all the demigods with elaborate sacrifices, and elsewhere he was fulfilling his religious obligations by doing public welfare work. such as the construction of wells, public parks, and monasteries. So, Krishna was always performing charitable works. He was always performing pious works. So we should also do these things. But we're more concerned with bhaktunmukhi. There's different types of piety. There's jnananmukhi, is spoken of in Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur. There's jnananmukhi, kamanmukhi, and bhaktiunmukhi. Different types of punya. So when you do kamanmukhi, it means when you do good karma, then you get piety will come back to you. Results come back. When you do jnana means like austerities and things like that, piety comes back to you. But when you do bhakti, right, that's what we're concerned with. We don't concern ourselves, we'll do material pious works or spiritual austerities. No, we just do devotion to Krishna. When you do that, then you will get the results. Right? And you see, it says in the Bhagavatam, right? Studying the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most auspicious activity in the universe. There's nothing more auspicious than studying Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. If you look at the end of many of the chapters, like if you go back to Canto 3 and you hear the pastime of Lord Varahadev, and at the end of the chapter there's Stutifal, right? Which means this is what you will get. So if you read the chapter, the pastime of Varahadev, and then at the end, what does it say? Right. It says if you hear this, you'll get courage in battle, you'll get long life, right? You'll get all these kind of benedictions come. Actually, all that is true. If you study the Bhagavatam, because it's the most pious activity, all, even material things will come into your life. We're not interested in the material things. We're interested in the spiritual things. Why do we study Bhagavatam? Because we want to come close to Krishna. That's the main reason why we study. If you study Bhagavatam, you come closer to Krishna. Hands up if you're studying Bhagavatam. All of us, yeah, because we're here, right? This is studying Bhagavatam. That's what we do. That's why we come here. Right? So we study Bhagavatam. Are we coming closer to Krishna? Do you feel closer to Krishna by doing this?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Because I study this, right? And then I read all the commentaries and like that. And I'm learning more and more about Krishna. Every day I learn more about Krishna. That's why we do it. Right? But even while you're doing that, you get all the material benedictions. Krishna takes care of all of your material needs as well. You don't even have to do anything else. You know, I don't have to go on the stock market. You know, some people say, oh, I invest this, invest that. Like, you know, a few months ago I got some money. My grandmother, then she passed away. She left me some money, so I got some money. So I said to the different devotees, and like, you know, what do I do with it? Oh, one devotee said, do this, another day. I talked to 10 or 20 devotees. Everyone had a different idea. Oh, do this, put the money, like that. But actually, the main thing is we just study Bhagavatam, and then everything will be taken care of. You don't have to worry. Right? You don't have to concentrate on, if I make this investment, or put the money here or there. No, just. Be sensible, do something with the money, but then concentrate on studying. Krishna will take care of all the necessities. It's a fact. All right. So this is why we study the Bhagavatam.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yokhim Vamam, Yokhim, Nai Paishuni, Ananyas Chintyato Mam Gijana Paripasthi, Esham Nishyukta Nam Yokhim Vamam.
Everything will be taken care of. So this is the point. We concentrate. Like Krishna is doing auspicious activities at auspicious times. What's the most auspicious activity?
Chanting the holy name.
Chanting the holy name, studying the Bhagavatam. This is the most auspicious activity. What's the most auspicious time?
Brahmahurta.
Yeah, Brahmahurta. Or you could say Kartik. Kartik starts in 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, some devotees will start. I'm starting on Wednesday, but the temple's starting on Thursday. So either it does. You start Wednesday, Thursday, up to you. But this is the most auspicious time. Yeah. So in Kartik, what do we do? More chanting. more hearing, more seva, all these things. Right? Most, so this is what Krishna does. Most auspicious time, most auspicious place than to do.
We got an email.
Yeah.
And it's from ISKCON. And
that's,
it said that
that's good.
The Vedas are the best scripture.
Yeah, what's the essence of the Vedas is the Bhagavatam.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Bhagavatam is the most auspicious. Just like a few years ago, remember that Brahmachari used to live in Melbourne? His name is Bhakti Sarprabhu. Remember him?
Yeah.
No, he's gone. He's losing. So his Kartik Vrat was to read all 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam. So he, in 1 month, he read the whole Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. So he had to read...
Not the purport.
Not the purport, no. If you read the purport, I don't think you could do it in. You'd have to be reading all day. You know, so he, but he read the whole Bhagavad Gita in 1 month, 3 to 4 hours a day. That was his vow. Yeah. So you have to think in Kartik. Kartik starts a couple of days, then you have to think, what is my brat? Burijan Prabhu, a few years ago, I went to see him. He was in Vrindavan. I saw him. He took a vow every day. He read one chapter of Krishna book. So every day, he read one chapter. So I came to see him. He said, "I'm going to read now. You sit here." So he sat there. He read the one chapter, Krishna book. Yeah, whatever your vow is, you do. But point is, Kartik, do more service for Krishna, more hearing, more chanting.
Something says that here Krishna was worshipping all the demigods with elaborate sacrifices. It says,
we haven't read that yet.
No, it says somewhere he was worshipping all the demigods with elaborate sacrifices.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, it does. Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay. So. So we don't worship all the demigods, we just worship Krishna.
Why did
Because there are many people who are not ready for bhakti. So they follow Karmakanda. So he's saying, okay, if you're not going to worship Krishna or Vishnu, then at least do that. So at least they make some progress.
See, Bhagavatam is called Amarpuram, right? So, does it mean all the Puranas,
18
Puranas, they come from Vedas?
They're part of the Vedas.
So, all the Puranas are as good as, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best Puran in Kali Yuga Sara. But does it mean that other Puranas are the good to read to?
Yeah, Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, Brahma. Yeah, some of them are good. I've never read any of them. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just trying to read the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Yeah, even that's difficult, you know. So devotees don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're so busy. Like, yes, I had to go puja, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I go? I think we start 7 in the morning or something, getting everything ready. We finished like 7 o'clock last night. By the end of the day, I'm so tired I can't even read the Bhagavatam. So, you know, just read the Bhagavatam. If you have time, then you can read other things.
See,
but
what I am asking, you see, Vedas is like ocean, right?
Yeah.
So, is that the, all the Puranas are the essence of Vedas?
The Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas.
That's the...
The other ones don't have everything in them. The Bhagavad Gita has everything. You don't have to read anything else, just the Bhagavad Gita.
12th
Canto, there's a verse, Sarva Vedanta Sarah, Nishma, Sarva Vedanta Sarah. 12th Canto comes. Yeah. Essence of all the Vedas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Srimad
Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam.
Yeah, it says. In another place, he was on a hunting expedition, mounted on his Sindhi horse and accompanied by the most heroic of the Yadus. He was killing animals, men for offering in sacrifice. So you're only allowed to kill for one reason, right? And that is to maintain peace. Right? Sometimes you have to kill someone so that everyone else can be peaceful. That's the only reason. Otherwise, you're not allowed to kill anyone. Right. So Kshatriya, they have permission. You know, if someone's being dacoit, kill them, that's it. Right. Or in the forest, Krishna goes and kills the animals. Why? Because the tigers, they're eating the sages, the rishis. They're doing like meditation, some tiger comes. Sometimes too many tigers. All the rishis getting eaten. So Kshatriyas go in, they shoot all the tigers. You know, keep the balance. Like that. So this is only. So you only can kill, but you have to have permission from Krishna to kill. If you don't have Krishna's permission, you're not allowed to kill. So Kshatriyas is allowed to kill, but only under circumstances.
What is the Sindhi horse?
Sindhi horse is from North India. A very good horse and very fast. You should get one. And then you'll come on time for class. Because I don't know what horse you're both riding at the moment, but it's way too slow. And tomorrow we do overview. Right? All 6:10 tomorrow. You have to be on time. None of this 15-minute late thing. Yeah. Otherwise, ask all devotees, they can give donation or buy you a new horse, and then you can...
But he was killing the animals for offering and sacrifice.
Yeah.
But not otherwise, because he wanted them to give it new life.
Depends on the animal. Some of the animals they were killing for the sacrifices, and some like the tigers they're just killing to maintain peace.
Yeah, it is offering and sacrifice.
Yeah. Means he wasn't killing whimsically, that's the point. You can't kill whimsically. Yeah. Okay. Somewhere Krishna, the Lord of mystic power, was moving about to disguise among the homes of ministers and other citizens in order to understand what each of them was thinking. Who else did this? Lord Ram. Remember? Lord Ram? He was also doing this. Something the kings used to do. The kings would disguise and they'd walk through the kingdom and they'd listen what everyone is saying about them. Because when you're there, everyone says nice things. You know, when I'm here, everyone will say nice things. But when I'm not there, everyone will say, oh yeah, but actually he's like that. So this is the system. The Kshatriya would go in disguise to find out what are they actually saying. So then when Narada saw this, right? Narada was smiling. Because why does God, who is Savigya, he knows everything, why is he walking around to find out what's going on? Krishna can hear us right now. So why does he need to walk around? Because his Leela Shakti is covering his Jnana Shakti. So that he, like a human being, he walks around like that's all. To perform pastime. O Lord, please give me your leave. I will wander about the worlds which are flooded with your fame, loudly singing about your pastimes.
37 and 36.
Skip 2 verses. Okay. Having thus seen this display of the Lord's Yogamaya, Narada mildly laughed and then addressed Lord Hrishikesh, who was adopting the behavior of a human being. So Narada is appreciating the potency of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya means Krishna's
internal
potency. She's the most powerful Shakti that Krishna has. She's so powerful that Krishna allows her to cover him. So Narada is very much appreciating. This is the Lord, but he's walking around like an ordinary king, listening to everyone, what they're saying about him. So he's appreciating Yogamaya's power, that she's making him not remember or understand everything that's going on in his kingdom. But this is Yogamaya's potency. Narada said, "Now we understand your mystic potencies, which are difficult to comprehend, even for great mystics, O Supreme Soul, Master of all mystic power. Only by serving your feet have I been able to perceive your powers." So we cannot fully understand Krishna, but we can appreciate him. Krishna is beyond comprehension. But we can appreciate it. It says in Brahma Samhita, what is that verse? Vedeshu dulabam adulabam atma bhakto. Vedeshu dulabam. Dulabam means rare. It also means difficult. It's difficult to understand Krishna by studying the Vedas. But adulabam means it is not difficult to understand him. Atma bhakto. When you have bhakti, when you have devotion for Krishna, it's not hard to understand Krishna. You can understand him. But if you don't have bhakti, then it's very difficult to understand Krishna. O Lord, please give me your leave. I will wander about the worlds which are flooded with your fame, loudly singing about your pastimes, which purify the universe. So, he is seeing Krishna's pastimes. We don't see Krishna's pastimes. We hear them from the Bhagavatam, which is not different actually. But what's the result of hearing about Krishna's pastimes? The result is you feel inspired.
Purification.
Yeah, you become purified. And you feel inspired. And then when you're inspired, what do? You tell others. You preach. So that's why we study the Bhagavatam. You study the Bhagavatam, you hear about Krishna's pastimes, and you become enthusiastic, and then you go and explain to the other devotees. Oh, last night we were studying in the course, and we heard this, and this happened. And you know, and then we speak Krishna Katha. You know, when we get with devotees, we don't just speak, oh, you know, how is your wife? Good. How is your kids? You know, it's the most boring questions. Whenever people say, how is Mataji? Oh, she's fantastic. What else do you want to know? It's like, what do you think I'm going to say? Same answer we give every time. How is your wife? It's the most boring thing in the world. You know, when we come with devotees, you want to speak about Krishna. Interesting things. You know, so, you know, Prabhuji, how is your health? Yeah, good. Do I look? I'm here. I hope. What do you want to hear about? Oh, my back sore and oh, my tooth. Is it really that interesting?
The world's interest is to make other devotees. It's prayer to raise
Krishna. Yeah. I mean, we ask devotees, like, how are you and all these things, but, like, you know, sometimes that's all we talk about.
And once you said, never ask how are you, always ask how is the bhakti going on. You said in the lecture.
Like that, yeah. Prabhupada didn't like it. When Prabhupada was sick, 1977, and the last time he went on the plane, they took him from India to London, and he went on the plane. Prabhupada was very sick. They had to carry him on the plane. He wasn't well. And Tamal Krishnamurti came to him on the flight and said, Prabhupada, how are you feeling? And Prabhupada, he didn't like that question. Prabhupada was like, mm-hmm. And Prabhupada was not well, but you know, he didn't like it. Prabhupada wanted to speak about, like, you know, preaching and things like this. You know? So the point is, you know, we can ask, right, how are you? And that's okay. But, you know, don't just, there has to be more than that. Speak about something enthusiastic. Become enlivened about speaking about me. Yeah. Very good. That's one of the essential verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Very good. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Brahmana, I am the speaker of religion, its performer and sanctioner. I observe religious principles to teach them to the world. My child, so do not be disturbed. So yad yad acharati
shreshtas.
Krishna says in Gita, whatever I do, everyone else will do. So why is Krishna performing all these different activities in Dwarka? To teach us. Krishna is not whimsical. Right? You don't go to, you know, When you take initiation, why do you choose your guru? Because the guru inspires you and teaches you how to serve Krishna. That's why you take initiation. From you go, oh, you know, you think of your guru. They inspire you. The guru is not whimsical. He doesn't do something or say something which doesn't make any sense. He must be connected to Krishna. So everything Krishna does is to teach us. So if you read all the things that he does here, they're not whimsical things. If Krishna is doing something, then it means there is a reason why he's doing it. Because he's teaching us how we should act, how we should behave.
So why did the rhythmic people understand this?
What's that?
Rhythmic people. Why
do
they need the guru?
Because they don't like authority. People in Kali Yuga don't like being told what to do. That's why.
But
I know.
Who initiated?
Initiated what?
You know, rhythmic people.
They say they got initiated by Prabhupada. So.
All of them.
That's what they say.
Even the younger generation.
Yeah, I was in Vrindavan, I met one devotee, he's like, I don't know, 20-something. And, you know, so I was like, oh, who are you initiated by? He said, Prabhupada. I said, okay.
Okay. So they don't do the, you know, how initiation ceremony is done?
No, they do jagya, but they have a picture of Prabhupada there.
Oh, okay.
But Prabhupada didn't teach. Prabhupada, if that's the way Prabhupada wanted it, he would have said that, but he didn't say that. Okay. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus in every palace, Narada saw the Lord in his same personal form, executing the transcendental principles of religion that purify those engaged in household affairs.
Did you remember?
Yeah, I did. So, Narada is observing these things. But Narada cannot enter into the lila. He's not like a dwarka basi. So he's appreciating, but the devotees that he's watching exchange with Krishna, they're on a higher level of bhakti. Narada is a sage who enters into dwarka and, you know, exchanges with Krishna. But he's not like one of the eternal associates of Dwarka. They relate to Krishna like he's my husband or he's my son or he's our family member like that. So he's appreciating the higher levels of bhakti of these devotees in Dwarka. Having repeatedly seen the vast mystic display of Lord Krishna, whose power is unlimited, the sage was amazed and filled with wonder. Lord Krishna greatly honored Narada, faithfully presenting him with gifts related to economic prosperity, sense gratification, and religious duties. Thus fully satisfied, the sage departed, constantly remembering the Lord. So Krishna is teaching us that we should give charity. Someone comes to your house, you have to give them something. You know, you have to feed them, or Prabhupada says that at the very least you have to give them a glass of water. And somewhere to sit. That's the least you have to give. And sweet words. In this way, Lord Narayan imitated the ways of ordinary humans, manifesting his divine potencies for the benefit of all beings. Thus he enjoyed, dear King, in the company of his 16,000 exalted consorts, who served the Lord with their shy, affectionate glances and laughter. Lord Hari is the ultimate cause of universal creation, maintenance and destruction. My dear King, anyone who chants about, hears about, or simply appreciates the extraordinary activities he performed in this world, which are impossible to imitate, will surely develop devotion for the Supreme Lord, the bestower of liberation. Shri Prabhupada ki.